I'm Frances Callier.
And I'm Angela V. Shelton.
And we're Frangela.
You know what you need in your life? The Final Word Podcast.
Yes, you do.
That's right. It is the final word on all things political and pop cultural.
Where we make real news real funny.
Where we inspire you so you can hashtag resist.
Subscribe and get a new episode of the Final Word Podcast each week. It's the news we think you need to hear.
That's right. We think you need to hear it. Okay.
Yeah, it's what we say so.
That's right. And because all we do is give, every Thursday you can listen to our hysterical podcast, Idiot of the Week.
We round up the stupid because you know what? Somebody has to.
Okay. All we do is give.
Hi, this is John Cryer, and I am hosting a new 7-part true crime podcast called Lawyers, Guns, and Money. That'll challenge everything you think you know about U.S. covert operations and presidential misconduct. From Jack Bryan, the director of American PSYOP, comes the incredible true story of John Mattis, a newly sworn-in Miami public defender in the 1980s who has found himself completely in over his head.
I step off the plane, and there is a van with a couple guys with Uzis. And one of them in broken English said, "Welcome to Bogota, John."
Mattis's first felony defendant has been arrested for having a machine gun and tells Mattis a dangerous secret.
He was shipping arms into Central America on behalf of the CIA. As a first-time lawyer, I want to act like I know what I'm doing.
But with the help of a Colombian drug smuggler...
How much money the CIA raised by hitting up drug dealers?
A lot of money, millions of dollars.
An Alabama mercenary...
They were prepared to die to the last man. I saw this in them. I saw the fire in their eyes. And they made me their war chief.
And a newly elected senator, John Kerry.
We are looking at allegations of drug running, gun smuggling, conspiracy to commit murder and murder itself.
He'll fight to free his client.
The judge said, "Show me in a courtroom how we were at war."
Expose an illegal war being run by the White House.
I mean, I wanted him involved, but I didn't want to be on record as doing it.
And somehow stay alive in the process.
I just escaped a kidnapping by the CIA in Costa Rica.
This is Lawyers, Guns, and Money.
So you have a man in an Armani suit standing on the bow of a boat with a rocket launcher and says, "If I lose sight of you, I will launch. You will be vaporized."
Available everywhere starting October 29th, or get it ad-free and early starting October 22nd at lawyersgunsandmoney.supercast.com. There you'll find bonus episodes along with exclusive content. Subscribe now.
MSW Media.
Hello, and welcome to the Daily Beans for Thursday, April 18th, 2024. Today, Arizona Republicans block another repeal of the 1864 abortion ban. President Biden endorses the House foreign aid packages. The Trump campaign, also known as the Trump Legal Defense Fund, shakes down ballot candidates for a cut of their fundraising. Democrats just won 2 Michigan State House special elections, regaining the majority. An Oklahoma County GOP chair has been arrested for a murder kidnapping plot. And the Senate kills the first of 2 Mayorkas impeachment articles. I'm Allison Gill.
And I'm Dana Goldberg.
Hey, my friend, happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday to you. How was your day?
It was good. It was okay. I just want to give everybody a heads up that I am having some weird memory problems that are associated with time. And I have an MRI scheduled in 2 weeks, and so I'm going to try to find out what's going on. But I just wanted to let everybody know if I'm late or I miss something, that's why. There's just something going on, and I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's PTS-related or menopause-related.
Or the fact that you're doing 3 podcasts, running a podcast network on a tour, just finished a book proposal, and you're tired-related. It could be any of those things, so we are hoping for the best results.
on your MRI. No matter what happens, we have you.
Thank you, my friend. Yeah, it could be just I need a vacation related.
I mean, it could be.
Yeah, and every time I announce that I'm going on vacation, something big and important that we've been waiting for happens in the news. So I am taking one in October. So we'll see, right before the election. So we'll see if that helps at all. Also, I just want to thank everybody for the absolutely amazing outpouring of support based on the final segment, the final submission that we had in the good news segment yesterday. So thank you very much for that.
Absolutely. The messages have been more than heartwarming and supportive. They have been beautiful and real, and we are community fighting for each other, and we have each other's backs. And that was just reconfirmed yesterday and this morning and more this afternoon. So just know that those messages are reaching us and they are filling my cup. I appreciate you all.
Same, same, very much so. Also, some insurance industry corrections, because, you know, I dove into this thing and I'm like, I don't know what any of this means, but this is weird, in the B block yesterday. So reinsurance by a parent company is actually pretty normal, according to some insurance experts who reached out to me. So thank you for letting me know that. That doesn't make it normal in this case, with the issuance of a bond when you don't have the money to protect it and you're relying on the person whose bond you're trying to secure's money to try to protect it. And also the Alaney list, that's the Excess Lines Association of New York. Their list only includes excess line insurers who volunteer to be strictly scrutinized by Eleni. And so there are people, there are insurers, Dana, that are eligible to issue excess line insurance policies in New York that do not appear on the list.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I actually reached out to Eleni and they were like, oh yeah, well, there's this. And so, okay, cool, interesting. I cannot wait for this April 22nd hearing. So thank you for giving me that whole B block yesterday to go over that weird filing.
Definitely.
All right. We have a lot of news to get to, but we have some quick hits first.
And to make a long story short,
too late.
All right. For the second time in 2 weeks, Arizona Republican lawmakers rejected an attempt to repeal the near total ban on abortion from 1864 that was upheld by the state Supreme Court. The move to again block the Democratic-led effort came amid mounting pressure on state Republicans to repeal the ban, including from former President Donald Trump and Arizona GOP Senate candidate Carrie Lake, who, by the way, are both for total abortion bans. Only one Republican voted in the first round to repeal the law. They're going through some other procedural things right now. I don't think it's technically over. But Dana, the thing that grossed me out the most was that the Republicans cheered.
Yes, they did.
On the floor when they were able to stop the Democrats from repealing this draconian law.
Yeah, I just don't think they realize they really have gone a bridge too far this time. The women of Arizona and everyone else who supports abortion access are fucking pissed.
Mm-hmm.
So,
And remember when I said that I think that the reason Arizona is red is because they're more libertarian and they're more like keep the government out.
Yeah.
That was confirmed today. I was watching Nicole Wallace and she had a special guest on who said it's actually nine. It's for the rest of the country. It's 7 in 10 or 8 in 10 people want access to abortion and abortion care. In Arizona, it's 9 out of 10.
So wow.
It's worse for them. It's going to be worse for them.
Thank you so much for that. Last in the quick hits, the Senate killed the first article of impeachment against Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas on Wednesday as the historic trial of the cabinet secretary got underway. The article of impeachment killed by the Senate was for, quote, willful and systemic refusal to comply with the law. Mayorkas still faces a second article of breach of public trust. Schumer made a motion to table or kill the first impeachment article because, and I quote, does not allege conduct that rises to the level of high crimes or misdemeanors as required in the Constitution. After several rounds of procedural votes, the Senate passed that motion 51-48 with Murkowski voting present, killing the first article of impeachment.
Thanks for that. We're still looking, we're still watching on that second article of impeachment. If something happens, I'll let you know. We have more news to get to. Let's hit the hot notes. Hot notes. All right, from Mitch Smith at the New York Times. Michigan Democrats started 2023 with full control of state government for the first time since the 80s. It was the 80s. They ended the year in a political bind after two House members left to become mayors of suburbs, leaving that chamber with an even partisan split and making it impossible for Democrats to pass bills without Republican support. On Tuesday, though, 5 months after their House majority evaporated, Democrats won two special elections to reclaim those seats and reclaim full control at the Michigan Capitol. The Associated Press said the Democrats, Mai Zhang, who is a Macomb County commissioner, and Peter Herzberg, a Westland City Council member, defeated both of their Republican opponents. The results of the special elections have never been in great doubt. Both districts situated in the Detroit area are liberal strongholds that Democratic candidates had carried by large margins in 2022. But the details of scheduling and running special elections meant a long, slow winter for Democratic lawmakers in Lansing, while the House was evenly divided between the two parties. Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer is a Democrat, and her party has a majority in the state Senate. And Republicans hope the Democrats' renewed House majority is short-lived. Michigan, long a swing state, is expected to be a pivotal presidential battleground this year. President Biden is working to rebuild a coalition that helped him win the state in 2020, but early polling has been favorable to Donald Trump. Republicans see an opening to deliver in Michigan for Mr. Trump in November and to win control of the Michigan House. That's a goal that could be helped by a newly redrawn legislative map in the Detroit area. All 110 Michigan House seats are up for election in November, including the two seats that were just contested on Tuesday. Before losing their House majority last year, Michigan Democrats raced through a list of longstanding policy goals that had been stymied during the decades of divided government or Republican control of the state, honestly. In the span of several months, in 2023, Ms. Whitmer and legislative Democrats enacted new gun laws, codified civil rights for LGBTQ+ people, solidified abortion rights, and undid Republican laws that they said weakened labor unions. Those efforts slowed in November after one House member, Kevin Coleman, was elected mayor of Westland, and another, Lori Stone, was elected mayor of Warren. Under Michigan law, Mr. Coleman and Ms. Stone had to resign from the legislature when they became mayor. Mr. Coleman said in November that some fellow Democrats, including members of Ms. Whitmer's staff and Speaker of the House Joe Tate, expressed concerns to him about his mayoral run, but none of them, he said, did anything to undermine his campaign for mayor. Once Ms. Zhang and Mr. Herzberg are sworn in, Democrats will have the numbers to resume their legislative push. With a general election only months away, it's uncertain how aggressively lawmakers will move, but here's hoping they do. Ms. Zhang, who was elected to the Macomb County Board of Commissioners in 2020, has worked as an interpreter. She is of Hmong descent and said on her campaign website that she immigrated to the United States as a child after being born in a refugee camp in Thailand. Mr. Herzberg, who has a finance background, has been a member of the city council in Westland, his hometown, since 2016. So congratulations, Michigan.
Thanks so much, AG. This one's from Stephen Groves at the Associated Press. President Joe Biden said Wednesday that he strongly supports a proposal from who? House Speaker Mike Johnson to provide aid to Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. Republican Speaker Johnson faces a choice between losing his job because of Marjorie Taylor Greene and funding Ukraine. Notified lawmakers earlier that he would forge ahead for votes on the package later this week. Shortly after Johnson released the funding proposals, Democrat Biden offered his support for the package. Quote, "The House must pass the package this week and the Senate should quickly follow." This is from our Democratic president. He went on to say, "I will sign this into law immediately to send a message to the world. We stand with our friends and we won't let Iran or Russia succeed." After agonizing over how to proceed on the package for days, Johnson notified GOP lawmakers Wednesday that he would push to hold votes on three funding packages for Ukraine, Israel, and allies in the Indo-Pacific, as well as several other foreign policy proposals in a fourth bill. Johnson's proposing that economic assistance for Kyiv be structured as forgivable loans, along with greater oversight on military funding, but the decision to support Ukraine at all has angered populist conservatives in the House and given new energy to a threat to remove him from the Speaker's office. The bills, quote, "will fund America's national security interests and allies in Israel, the Indo-Pacific, and Ukraine." This is what Johnson wrote in a text message to members, which was shared by two Republican lawmakers. The votes on the package are expected Saturday evening. This is what Johnson said, but he faces a treacherous path to get there. The Speaker's going to need Democratic support on the procedural maneuvers to advance his complex plan of holding separate votes on each of the aid packages. The top Democrat in the House Appropriations Committee, that's Connecticut Rep. Rosa DeLauro, said in a statement that the three funding proposals for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan mirror a $95 billion foreign aid package that the Senate passed in February. Crucial to Democratic support, the House proposal kept intact roughly $9 billion in humanitarian aid for civilians in Gaza and other conflict zones. In the House Intelligence Committee, the Republican chairman, that's Rep. Mike Turner, and the top Democrat, that's Jim Himes, they issued a joint statement Tuesday saying that they had been informed in a classified brief that there was a, quote, critical need to provide funding for Ukraine this week.
Yeah, this week. A lot of people came out of that briefing with all of the color drained out of their face. It was a very necessary briefing so that they could, you know, inform a lot of these folks in Congress how critical this aid is. And, you know, Mike Johnson went on Jake Tapper and said, I don't care. I'm forging ahead with aid to Ukraine. We have to back our allies, and I don't care if I'm risking my job. So I never expected to hear that, and we'll see what actually happens. You know, I kind of don't hold my breath these days when it comes to that guy. Next up from Alex Eisenstadt. I hope I'm saying that right. Alex Eisenstadt at Politico. Former President Donald Trump's campaign has found a new way to press for badly needed cash. In a letter received by Republican digital vendors this week, the Trump campaign, which is, I'm calling it the Trump Legal Defense Fund, is asking for down ballot candidates who use his name, image, and likeness in fundraising appeals to give at least 5% of the proceeds to Trump's campaign. Quote, beginning tomorrow, we ask that all candidates and committees who choose to use President Trump's name, image, and likeness split a minimum of 5% of all fundraising solicitations to Trump National Committee, JFC. And I thought that meant Jesus fucking Christ, but it means Joint Fundraising Committee. This includes, but is not limited to, sending to the House file, prospecting vendors, and advertising. Unquote. That is Trump co-campaign manager Susie Wiles, who was also a witness in one of his criminal cases.
Oh boy.
And Chris LaCivita in a letter, which was dated April 15th. They add, quote, any split that's higher than 5% will be seen favorably by the RNC and President Trump's campaign and is routinely reported to the highest levels of leadership with both organizations.
Oh, so anything, please.
So we're requiring 5%. That's our shakedown, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anything more than that, we'll let the big guy know. Right?
You'll be in Trump's good graces.
Oh my God.
So gross.
The letter comes as Trump is struggling to close a fundraising gap with President Joe Biden. Biden's campaign says it's raised over $190 million, more than double what Trump has taken in. Trump campaign has acknowledged that it will be outraised by Joe Biden, though it has been looking to make up the ground with large and small donors alike. But they can't. By asking Republican candidates to break off a chunk of their proceeds, the Trump campaign would enlarge its bank account. Any individual donor to a Republican candidate can give up to $6,600. That means if contributors were to give a maximum amount, the Trump campaign would get $330 of the down ballot candidate if they agree to share with the former president. The letter was sent the same week that Trump's hush money trial began in New York. So that's fun. The trial is expected to last about 6 weeks and will greatly hinder the former president's ability to hit the campaign trail with just 7 months left before the November election. I don't think it does. I don't think he was planning on hitting the campaign trail. He has not spent any money standing up campaign offices in any of the critical swing states. I don't think he was ever planning on campaigning. I truly believe 100%. He is only running for president to, one, stay out of prison, two, try to incite some violence, and three, raise money to pay his legal bills. Down ballot Republican candidates and committees have long used Trump's face and stuff and his likeness in fundraising appeals, recognizing he has support among the party's small dollar fundraising base. But in the letter, Wiles and LaCivita reiterated their request that Republicans avoid using certain language and tactics while using Trump's name, image, and likeness. For example, they asked the candidates not to speak on behalf of President Trump. They ask him that mention of the president's family without their consent or the consent of the campaign is off limits. And they've asked not to impersonate President Trump or his campaign. After taking over the RNC last month, the Trump campaign established a joint fundraising committee with the RNC. That's the Jesus fucking Christ committee, which is what we're going to call it, the JFC, with the RNC, that allowed for the campaign to take in checks in excess of $814,000. The letter warns, quote, here's the warning, ready? Any vendor whose clients ignore these guidelines mentioned above will be held responsible for their clients' actions. And repeated violations will result in the suspension of business relationships between the vendor and Trump National Committee, JFC. Jesus fucking Christ. This includes list rental agreements. Wow. Breaking news, everyone. This has just been handed to me. Actually, this is just a piece of paper from my desk. But the second Mayorkas impeachment article has been killed. They have failed. Oh my God, it's all done. There's not going to be a trial. They've adjourned. They're going to move to adjourn the trial. What an embarrassing waste of taxpayer money. Holy God.
And just Marjorie Taylor Greene embarrassing herself over and over. It's just done. It's so nice that it's done. All right, last in this block, this is from Brad Reed at Raw Story. Tiffany Adams, an Oklahoma resident who last year was elected as the chairwoman of a Cimarron County Republican Party, was arrested this week and charged with three other people of participating in kidnapping and murder. Local news station, which is KOCO, reports that Adams was charged with participating in the kidnapping and murder of a 27-year-old Veronica Butler and 39-year-old Julian Kelly, who both disappeared a little over 2 weeks ago. According to a local news station, KSN, Butler was involved in a custody dispute with the 54-year-old Adams, who was the paternal grandmother of Butler's children. Butler and Kelly had been traveling to Adams's house to pick up Butler's children for a court-ordered visitation on March 30th before they mysteriously vanished.
Oh my God.
The two women's bodies were discovered on April 14th, and Adams was arrested shortly after, along with fellow suspects Tad Cullum, Cole Twombly, and Cora Twombly. Each of the four suspects is being charged with two counts of first-degree murder, two counts of kidnapping, and one count of conspiracy to commit murder. Now, State Senator Nathan Dom, the chairman of the Oklahoma Republican Party, tells KOCO, and we're just going to call it COCO, that's the station, that he laments the horrific crimes allegedly committed by Adams and has also emphasized that Cimarron County GOP is a tiny organization and that Adams was elected chairwoman by a very small number of people last year. And I quote from the story, "This is a tragic situation with innocent children being at the center of this still developing situation." This is what he said and went on to say, "While we at the Oklahoma Republican Party have no personal relationship or knowledge of the individuals who have been accused in this senseless crime, we have been made aware that Ms. Adams was previously elected by a handful of people to the role of chair in her county." So it is very hard for me to believe that they have never heard of these people and don't know them.
Oh, yep. We don't know her at all. She was elected by like three people. I mean... It reminds me of, you know, when Donald Trump is like, "I don't know who George Papadopoulos is."
For sure.
Coffee boy.
Yeah. I never met her.
Don't even know who that is. Whatever. Way to own it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the party of personal responsibility takes zero responsibility. News at 10. All right, everybody. That is the news. We will be right back with the good news, but we have to take a quick break. Stick around. We'll be right back.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, wherever you get your podcasts.
Everybody, welcome back. It's time for the good news.
Good news, everyone. Then good news, everyone.
And if you have any good news, confessions, corrections, like insurance company corrections, anything like that, where you want to teach me insurance law or what excess line things are, send that to us. If you want to play What the Fark is in Your Ark, send us a photo of an animal. We'll try to guess the breed or just the kind of animal or maybe their name. You can draw us a picture of an animal if you don't have pod pet tax, or you can send us an adoptable pet in your area and we'll see if we can help find that baby or forever home. Also, I love to get dissertation and thesis titles. Those are amazing, sometimes hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
often extremely narrowed down and very specific.
Yes.
I love it. I absolutely love it. And it would be stories, blanky stories, anything like that. And of course, any Democratic policy that has helped you or your family or a loved one, like the Affordable Care Act, VA healthcare, or especially student debt relief stories, send those to us. And anything really at all, happy place photos, baby pictures, frog orgies, send it to us at dailybeanspod.com and click on contact. Dana, my very good friend, my best friend actually, sent me this great company called Spiceology. And they actually have a package of spices called Charismatic Mega Spices.
Stop it. That's amazing.
And I was like,
I'm sorry, what?
Is that from us? Are they a fan of us? It doesn't say anything on their website about it. Is there some other reference besides our episode of Charismatic Mega Plastics into Charismatic Mega Plastics? I sent them a message on Instagram. I eagerly await their reply. I want to see if they're double-ended dildo fans.
Oh my God, be amazing.
Yeah, awesome. So anyway, very cool spices over at Spiceology. They're not a sponsor. I just thought that was wonderful.
Yeah, we're not sending a cease and desist letter. We're telling you to support them.
Totally. All right, first up from Melissa, pronoun she and her. Hi, Beans Queens. I'm sending out a couple of shout-outs. First shout-out is to my parents, who will be remarried 50 years this coming Saturday. They've been through quite a bit in those 50 years. Two kids, a move to and from Brazil with young kids in tow. My dad's cancer diagnosis when he was in his late 30s. He's fine and fit as a fiddle and in his early 70s now. Both of my parents going through grad school while still working full-time as educators. Dad ended up with a master's, mom with a PhD. Yeah. Having a kid who had behavioral challenges, me, numerous moves, building at least two or three houses, their own parents getting older. My dad's parents have both passed away, with my mom's parents still living at almost ages 99 and 95. My own cancer diagnosis, the COVID-19 pandemic, and so forth. They were 20 and 21, and now I know that my dad's mom was very worried about them getting married so young. But while there have been struggles and disagreements over the years, my parents have always remained at each other's side, cheering each other on in whatever they have chosen to pursue. My other shout out is to myself. I started doing some vlogging on YouTube and TikTok recently at MJ Readings. It's mainly book reviews, and it's really, really basic. Basically, me talking into my laptop's video and recording and posting. I need some help on graphics, though. Thanks for being such amazing hosts. Here's a photo of my parents and their wedding party 50 years ago, and one of them about 49 years later while my parents and I were on vacation in Mexico about 18 months ago.
No.
Oh, beautiful.
That's
now,
awesome.
Melissa, hey, that's what it is, right? You just sit down and talk into your laptop and you post it. You know, the Mueller She Wrote podcast started at my kitchen table. So you just got to get your voice out there. And
that's right.
I love that you're doing that. And I love that you gave yourself a shout out for it. So thank you. Again, it's MJ Readings on YouTube and TikTok. Thank you, Melissa.
All right. This one's from Jen, pronoun she and her. Hello, Beans Queens. I'm a listener who came in through a friend. I'm also a new parent, baby pick included, who is having trouble finding out how to balance sleep deprivation and eternal distraction with staying connected to what's going on in this incredibly important year. I can only imagine, Jen. My friend told me about your pod, and it's been just what I needed. I also have been struggling to cook and heard about Home Chef through you. Thank you for keeping me informed, amused, and fed. Yes, I'm also a poll worker. Shout out to my fellows and everyone who makes the time to vote. And this is a beautiful picture of your little bundled baby and that smile. And I can only imagine what it is like to balance everything right now. And so yay for like connecting with a sponsor and feeding yourself.
Yeah. And Jen, doing all of that and looking just like Caitlin Clark, I don't know how
that's
you pull
fair.
It off.
Yep.
Absolutely beautiful photo. And this baby is amazing. Look at that little munchkin.
So
look at
sweet.
The bean. Asleep. Beautiful. I love mother-daughter pictures. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
I am my mother's daughter so, so very much. I know you are too. I love your dear heart. Is it dear heart?
Dear heart.
Tattoo.
Yeah.
Which is what your mom calls you. And when I saw Barbie in the theater, and Ruth grabs her hand and says, mothers, stand still so our daughters can look back and see how far they've come. I've lost my shit.
I think a lot of people probably did.
And then you get the Billie Eilish coming in and I'm like,
yeah, done.
Just done. And then I was laughing on the floor rolling when they were playing the song on the beach on the guitar. Mm-hmm. Well, let me look into your eyes and play this song for 4 hours. I was like, oh my God, I have been there. I have been there. So this, I love this mother-daughter photo. All right. Next up, from anonymous pronouns, she and her. My best friend, Patrice, took me to the hospital today for a brain surgery that scared the shit out of her, but she was there. She's an evangelical Christian and liberal as fuck. I'm an atheist, even more lefty. It is possible for love to defeat the dark.
Oh.
What an incredible short post, but like says so much, right? That's a novel in there.
I know.
And it's fantastic. And look at, meet Stella, she says. Look. Oh,
Stella's cute.
Puppers.
I hope you heal quickly, Anonymous.
Yes, me too. Me too.
All right, this one is from Anonymous, pronouns she and her. I've had mental health battles for 40 plus years. Then I added a stroke 5 years ago. Today, I'm waiting for a call back from my therapist to find me a bed in a psych hospital after my BP spiked again a few weeks ago and something is off in my head. Anonymous, I'm already holding you so fucking close right now. I'm really only disappointed that it'll be 5 to 10 days without the beans. I'll catch up later. Thanks for being y'all. Pod Pet Tax is Penelope, who prefers Nelly, Smelly Belly. I got her about 16 months old and 3.5 pounds. She's been with me since August of 2017, and her fluffy butt is doing pretty good. She's a tortie, long hair, who looks like a pile of dirt after raking leaves, and I think she's beautiful.
She is.
You know, if I may, Anonymous, it doesn't hurt to have some old episodes downloaded so that we're still in your ears over the next 5 to 10 days, if you don't mind listening to some oldies but goodies. And otherwise, you can download episodes from some other incredible podcasts just to help you get through all of this. So sending you so much love. And I will say that you have survived every one of your hardest days, and the ones ahead are going to be no different.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm also looking forward to the refried beans this weekend. You know how we play. It was one of our listeners' ideas to play reruns.
Such a brilliant name.
On the weekends. And they sent me the list. First of all, I love reading all the old episode titles. But we're going to be replaying the John Cryer interview in an episode called Heavy Metal Vomit Party. So I'm really looking forward to getting to hear that one again. And that was, I think that's the one from 4 years ago. So maybe the one from 3 years ago. But anyway, I'm looking forward to that. And sending huge hugs to Anonymous here for when you're in the hospital. Seriously, all the love.
Absolutely.
Next up, from Anonymous, pronouns he and him. Hello, Beans Queens. To summarize some long-running burdens relevant to my good news, I'll share my mental health issues and leave this report anonymous. Specifically, I suffer with major depression, ADHD, ASD, autism, Asperger's, and probably a bit of CPTSD from abuse. I have had a horrid time of things for several years now and grew extremely isolated as I just sort of folded up into myself and tried to be as small as possible in a marriage that was / is traumatic. Essentially trying to avoid conflict, I basically checked out and crawled into a never-ending bag of weed and just stopped almost all social interaction and stopped taking interest in things I used to enjoy. It's not unique to ASD, but ASD helps turn up the volume to 11 on the isolation aspect of my problems. With no contact to my family for over a decade and my unhealthy marriage ending, I was in an extreme low point. We really only have shared friends at this point I haven't maintained contact with. The combination of shame and anxiety and the desire to keep our marriage issues from poisoning shared friends deepened that isolation heading into this divorce. Until about a week ago, when I discovered menliving.org. This is a nonprofit organization with meetings on all sorts of topics and an extensive set of tools to find friends. The intent is helping men be more proactive in their social relationships and to help us live healthier, more fulfilling lives. It turns out that even neurotypical men need help making friends sometimes. Who knew? What finally sold me on giving it a shot was that the restricted parts are opened to, quote, anyone identifying as male, which, as you know, is not something a grunting toxic masculinity cult would write. Long and short of it is that I'm able to schedule a couple of social things and work through my issues in a safe space. And I wanted to share that with the community so others might find help they need too. It's menliving.org. Hope to meet a few fellow beans there. Anyway, if Dana is about to cry for me, first, thank you. And second, I'm on the mend. I'm not well, but I'm on a better path than I have been on in years, and it just accelerated with this newfound support. I expect to be some version of well soon enough if I keep doing the work. Thank you for all you do and for your amazing parasocial support. For tax, I offer, what is this animal?
Oh my God, it looks like a little fuzzy pink armadillo.
A baby wombat? Hedgehog. Baby hedgehog? No.
Because hedgehog has all the little hair on the outside.
It's not a naked mole rat, is it? I don't know. Let's see. Pink fairy armadillo. You got it.
I was very close. I said furry, but it was close.
You didn't get the... Yes, I give this to you, Dana.
Thank you.
You got this one. It is a little tiny pink furry armadillo.
Anonymous, I just want to say thank you for this submission. And I also want to tell you, and I don't want to out this person, no pun intended, but a family member of mine also is in this group. And
really,
he loves it. And so I think you have found a really reputable, loving community. And so surround yourself with these people. And just the fact that you're willing to find these new connections and all of these things to better yourself and to work on your mental health and know you're going to be okay. I'm just sending you all the love in the world. And I'm so glad you found a community. No matter what it is, feeling like we belong somewhere is such a beautiful thing. It's such a beautiful thing. So I'm sending you all the love. And you don't know me that maybe I was crying for you. You don't know. Okay. Maybe you know, Anonymous. That's okay. But thank you for this little fairy pink armadillo. That's all I have to say. All right. I'm going to close it out this time. This is Sarah, pronouns she and her. Take my money. I've been a listener for a few years, but finally had to crack open the wallet after hearing Dana respond with courage and grace and firmness to the listener who feared being indoctrinated by stories of people with different lived experiences than themselves. As a cisgender psychotherapist who works primarily with trans youth and their families, I can tell you my felt experience of my gender has not changed through loving these people, but my understanding of gender itself has expanded and my compassion for others has grown with it. I wish that listener the same joy and peace. Sarah, what a beautiful way to put this. I will tell you, the listeners, Allison knows this, our producers have put together all of your submissions into a document for myself and Allison, and I cannot wait to read them. So Sarah, thank you for this one. I'm glad it made the good news just to kick us off. And that statement, I can tell you my felt experience of my gender has not changed through loving these people.
Wow.
Period. The end.
Yeah. But my understanding of gender itself has expanded.
Yeah.
And my compassion has grown with it. I love that. And I wish the listener the same joy and peace. What a fantastic human person you are, Sarah.
Human person. Absolutely.
Amazing. Truly incredible. Our listeners are the best fucking people in the world. There's just
they really are.
Other way to say it. Thank you so much, everybody, for your submissions. Please send in your thoughts at anything you want to tell us. Send it to us at dailybeanspod.com and click on contact. Do you have any final thoughts today, my friend?
I just love this community, and that goes for all of you, even the ones that are, you know, right in and maybe would like something different with the podcast. We're sending you love as well. We're glad you're listening, and we hope that you find something in our voices and our stories. And remember, these aren't our stories. We do have opinions on them, but we are just reporting the news. We just happen to talk about how we feel about the news after it.
Yep. Yep, for sure. And we always cite our sources. And I think somewhere we send out every single source that is used, that I use to put together the news. So you have all of that information. Thank you, everybody. We will be back in your ears tomorrow. And by the way, as you're listening to this today, Trump's trial is back underway. We might have an entire jury seated by the end of tomorrow afternoon, which means the trial would begin Monday.
Amazing.
That's amazing to me. That's so fast. I was thinking 2 weeks, maybe something like that. But we might have a jury completely seated and sworn in by the time we see all of our patrons that are coming to the gala. I don't even know what I'm calling it.
You're going to have so much fun this weekend.
Yeah, in DC on Saturday at 4:20, bro. All right, tomorrow we'll be back in your ears. Until then, please take care of yourselves, take care of each other, take care of the planet, take care of your mental health, take care of your whole family. Well, take care of your chosen family.
There you go.
But blue over Q.
And take anyone you want with you.
I've been AG.
And I've been DG.
And them's the Beans. The Daily Beans is written and executive produced by Allison Gill, with additional research and reporting by Dana Goldberg. Sound design and editing is by Desiree McFarlane, with art and web design by Joel Reeder with Moxie Design Studios. Music for The Daily Beans is written and performed by They Might Be Giants, and the show is a proud member of the MSW Media Network, a collection of creator-owned podcasts dedicated to news, politics, and justice. For more information, please visit mswmedia.com. MSW Media.
Hi, this is John Cryer, and I am hosting a new 7-part true crime podcast called Lawyers, Guns, and Money that'll challenge everything you think you know about U.S. covert operations and presidential misconduct. From Jack Bryan, the director of American PSYOP, comes the incredible true story of John Mattis, a newly sworn-in Miami public defender in the 1980s who has found himself completely in over his head.
I step off the plane, and there is a van with a couple guys with Uzis. And one of them in broken English said, "Welcome to Bogota, John."
Mattis's first felony defendant has been arrested for having a machine gun and tells Mattis a dangerous secret.
He was shipping arms into Central America on behalf of the CIA. As a first-time lawyer, I want to act like I know what I'm doing.
But with the help of a Colombian drug smuggler...
How much money the CIA raised by hitting up drug dealers?
A lot of money, millions of dollars.
An Alabama mercenary...
They were prepared to die to the last man. I saw this in them. I saw the fire in their eyes. And they made me their war chief.
And a newly elected senator, John Kerry.
We are looking at allegations of drug running, gun smuggling, conspiracy to commit murder and murder itself.
He'll fight to free his client.
The judge said, "Show me in a courtroom how we were at war."
Expose an illegal war being run by the White House.
I mean, I wanted him involved, but I didn't want to be on record as doing it.
And somehow stay alive in the process.
I just escaped a kidnapping by the CIA in Costa Rica.
This is Lawyers, Guns, and Money.
So you have a man in an Armani suit standing on the bow of a boat with a rocket launcher and says, "If I lose sight of you, I will launch. You will be vaporized."
Available everywhere starting October 29th, or get it ad-free and early starting October 22nd at lawyersgunsandmoney.supercast.com. There you'll find bonus episodes along with exclusive content. Subscribe now.